today on Real Radio.
God has centered you out, focused you out, set you apart from the world. You are precious cargo to God, priceless indeed. Inside you dwelleth the Holy Spirit of God, if you be a believer, a Christian today.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called God's Priceless Cargo, Part 2, continues a series called The Book of Acts. The Book of Acts records the powerful ministry of the first century apostles. Many years have gone by since the Apostle Paul first began his missionary journeys. Now Paul is sailing for Rome and for the end of his mission. In the message called God's Priceless Cargo, Part 1 from Acts chapter 27, we found Paul going from being a prisoner of the Roman government to being the captain of the ship he was on. How could that have happened? Well, during the storm that seemed disastrous, Paul became the new crew's encourager, counselor, teacher of God's Word, and an example of what it means to believe in God. Now, as we head into the last of chapter 27 and the beginning of chapter 28 of Acts, we find that God uses Paul to rescue the others on board. And for the sake of Paul, the rest of the prisoners were also saved. Today, on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that God often uses a crisis to glorify His name. The ship that Paul and the crew sailed on was destroyed, but the stability of Paul kept him in control and full of peace. The islanders on Malta were pagan and worshipped the goddess Nemesis, but God had a plan in store to enlighten their beliefs. And now, continuing his lesson called God's Priceless Cargo, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 21, He says, many will come to me in that day, saying, Lord, didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we do great miracles in your name? Haven't we done many wondrous works? And Jesus will turn and say to them, even though you went to church, even though you had a member on our church roster, and you played the organ or you pastored the church, he will say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. Isn't that amazing? Why am I saying this? Paul's power in his witness was that he said and did the same thing. Yes, God loves you. But we cannot be hypocritical about our walks. None of us are perfect. And we will fail, though it's not our heart's desire. But do we walk before Him? Do we love Him enough to seek His will and to do His will over our own? The words of Paul and the walk of Paul was one of the same thing, and that's a blessing to us as an example. But is our message our life? And the world will judge us. Nicodemus came in John chapter 3. Nicodemus came. It says in verse 1, there was a man, a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night. Didn't want to get exposed, but he knew something. So Nicodemus came. This is Nick at night. That's where they got this from. And he comes to Jesus, and he says something very, very excellent to me. He says, I know that you are a teacher. Come from God. Oh, yeah? For no man can do the things you do except to be from God. You see what's happening here, Jesus? I am jeopardizing what would be equivalent today of my holding as a cardinal or a pope or a priest of a great high-ranking order. I jeopardize that by coming to you at night. And I want to say something, Jesus. I know by what you teach and what you do, you've come from God. And if you read the end of John's gospel, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea were probably born again men, came to faith in Christ. We'll never lead anybody to the Lord. Living a double life. Not only, even if they don't know about it, God will not bless it. Our words need to be our actions. Another thing that we notice is that verse 44 says they escaped safely. I have that underlined in my Bible because it drove home the words that Paul had spoken on the boat. An interesting thing to me is that the reason why God used Paul to rescue others was because Paul was on the boat. That brings me comfort. Listen, we're all on the boat. But the boat's breaking up. Don't hang at the back of the boat in the ocean, in the waves, in the storm. Get up, get ready. Don't hang around in the back of the boat where the waves are violently hitting to destroy the boat, as it says in verse 41. Man, get into fellowship, stay there, get into service, love the Lord and go for it. Watch what happens to your walk. But it says in verse 44 that they all escaped safely. Paul had proven his God faithful, and the events had proven God faithful. And that's a beautiful thing. And we need to rest in this and trust in it. Verse 1, chapter 28. Now when they had escaped, they then found out that the island was called Malta. And the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. You see in verse 2 where it says the word natives, we need to be careful here. These are not guys with bones in their noses, grass skirts. You kind of get the Indiana Jones or Jungle Boat Ride thing. That's not what that means. These people were industrious and somewhat industrialized. But the word native really shows the Greek flavor in your New Testament scriptures, even in the English. Because if you were not a Greek, if you were not speaking Greek, you could be Hebrew and speak Greek, you could be African and speak Greek, you could be Latin and speak Greek. As long as you spoke Koine Greek, which was the language that the Bible, New Testament was written in, and the language of the age, as long as you spoke, you were considered in the culture, you were considered educated, you were received. If you did not speak Greek, you were called a barbar. That's the word here, a barbarian. It's where we get the word barbarian, or barbarous. It means you're removed from meaning, you're removed from life, you're a nothing, you're a barbar. And they would literally walk around and they would hear somebody walk by in a foreign language. Those of you who have been to Russia specifically, it's so strange. I love to watch your face the first time you get on the airplane and you're still on an American plane. It's Delta Airlines with the American flag on it. And you leave Frankfurt and all of a sudden this stewardess is talking to you and she's talking in perfect English. And then she starts talking to you in German, and you can understand some German. And then she starts, as you approach St. Petersburg or Moscow, she starts speaking in Russian, and you're going, wow. And you don't understand. There's not even a clue what she's saying. And it's fun to watch the faces of people who've never experienced that before, because they go, what is that? Okay, what is that? Oh, mama. And you can hear people, what is that? What is that? People would walk by, and they would hear that, and they'd go, barbar. It was a derogatory term. You uneducated person, if he was really in the know, they would speak Greek. So, the natives showed us, it says, unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire from the forest because of the rain and because of the cold. And we'll see this here in a second. You got to jot this down, verses 1 through 6. Is God will use a crisis to glorify his name. Watch this. For they kindled the fire and made us all welcome because of the rain was falling, because of the cold. Remember, it's winter. Verse 3, but when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. I want you to circle the word hand, and let's just run ahead for a second. I want you to go way over to verse 8 and circle the word hands. In verse 8. And we'll come to this in a minute. I love this. Here's the Apostle Paul. He is the big wheel of Christianity on the earth. Jesus commending Paul and commissioning Paul out on a work, taking the gospel to the Gentile world. Paul is it. And in fact, the book of Acts is dedicated to the bulk of his work. Little old guy. He's got 275 men with him on the ship that you think by now would have said, wow, that guy's right. Can you imagine when they got on shore after they're getting up and they're rinsing off their clothes? They look around. Don't you think the guards would have said, wait a minute, 1, 2, 3, 273, 74, 75, 76. Nobody's lost. Captain, we've lost no one. Don't you think they would have looked over at Paul for a minute? Wow. Anybody hurt? Nobody's hurt. that little Jew, the little rabbi, that's what he said. Don't you think that would have grabbed somebody's attention? I think so, personally. Then, if you have any doubt, you look out to sea and there's nothing on the horizon. The ship is destroyed, just like Paul had said. That ought to grab your attention. There's things that have been happening in your life. Maybe you're not a Christian. God is allowing them to happen, so you'll give him your attention. He even does it in the lives of Christians. I don't like it, just like you don't like it, but we can get so busy, God will cause a little freckle to come into our life, and all of a sudden we're dropping on our face, crying out before God, "Oh God, oh God," and he's going, "Jack, Jack, it's so good to hear your voice. You've been away so long. Oh God, please help me, help me. I just want to hear you talk to me a little bit. Oh no, help me and then I'll talk to you. No, I know you." And the moment I bless you, you're going to be off and running again. So let's just hang around a bit. He does that. So, Paul is there. They should have noticed something. They should have been grateful. Don't you think maybe they should have been waiting on Paul, so to speak? And what's Paul doing? He is the leader. He's picking up sticks, going to start a fire. He's serving. He's ministering. You know what? I think this verse is a great verse for pastors' conferences or everybody who wants to be in the ministry ought to learn how to pick up sticks. Take out trash. We've gotten so bizarre, I don't want to hurt anybody, but if this applies, deal with it. The church has gotten so far away from our roots that now we've got this mentality of, oh, are you the pastor? Well, I'm actually the president of the corporation. I'm CEO of this operation. Really? Well, then I need to talk to a pastor. I can go talk to my boss on Monday morning. It's a sad day when the church is a business. It's a sad day. What is the example the scripture lays out for us? Paul the apostle, the top pastor of them all, is picking up sticks and ministering to the body. Besides that, there are a bunch of his enemies. They wanted to kill him earlier. I love that example. So he's picking up sticks, putting them on the fire, and it says a viper. This is a Egyptian cobra. They once lived on the island of Malta. They're not there any longer. They've been eradicated from there. An Egyptian viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. So when the natives, all these people, saw the creature, and by the way, this word creature implies that it's large. This is not some little rubber snake here. This thing's bad news. Paul probably, you know, he's got bad eyes to begin with, and it's stormy, and it's cold. So what do reptiles do when it's cold? They get stiff. So Paul's picking up sticks. Well, here's a nice stick. This ought to burn really good. Takes it over there, and he throws it in, and the snake is like, oh, man, warm. Oh, yow! And the snake jumps out, and teeth flying. By the way, we're out of time, aren't we? Do I need to keep? Oh, man, we're in trouble. I'll keep going. Forget this. The snake jumps out and bites him, hanging there. It says that when the natives saw the snake hanging from him, he shook it off into the fire. But look at this. It says, verse 4, so when the natives saw that the creature was hanging from his hand, they said to one another, oh, no doubt this man's a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet, listen, nemesis, vengeance, or justice is a goddess, they believed, does not allow him to live. They believed if you offended, hurt, destroyed somebody, the way you did it, if nemesis, their goddess of justice, if you kicked somebody in the head and they died or something or crippled them, then nemesis, when she attacked you, you would lose your leg. If you struck somebody with your hand, nemesis said that you're going to lose your hand. That's why in that pagan culture, when Paul got bit, everyone goes, oh, he must be a murderer, and he must have used that hand. That's how they thought. Isn't that funny? Funny. People do that today. So what happens? Justice says he's not to live. That's a whole message by itself. Justice demands death, by the way. Verse 5, but Paul shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. I love this. However, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. Watch. But after they had looked for a long time, they saw no harm come to him. Can you imagine? Where's he going? He's going over there. Let's follow. And they're watching him. For a long time. What's he doing? He's just standing there. He's yawning. He's going to die. No, he looks like he's doing fine now. For a long time. What's he doing now? Look at him. He looks fine. That's an Egyptian cobra. He should be dead. You know what happens? The world is just like this. It says that when they saw that no harm came to him, they changed their minds and they made him out to be a god. Well, after all, did we say he was a murderer? No, there's no way. He must be a god. Isn't that funny? Pendulum swings over to the other side. That's how the world is emotionally. That's how many of us used to be, or maybe some of us are coming out of that, where we were driven emotionally by the circumstances. And the world goes one way or the other way. Oh, he's a murderer, bum. Oh, maybe he's a god. What a crack up. Verse 7 says, now in the region, there was an estate of the leading citizen of the island. So obviously a wealthy guy whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. Listen, this is bad news. We're talking bad dysentery. The word is implied here where it's bloody dysentery. He has got diarrhea that is destroying him. And he either has gotten something, of course, into his system that's terribly, terribly dangerous, or he has some sort of an intestinal problem to where there's bloody dysentery, which, by the way, will cause a fever. If your colon and if your guts are attacked like that, will generate a fever. And he's sick. Bad. So I love what God does to us here. Paul went into him and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. First of all, that same culture that thought about the snake biting your hand also said that if you touch somebody who's sick or diseased, you're going to get it. Whatever you've got going on wrong, it's contagious by the touch. So don't touch him. What does Paul do? First of all, Paul responds to the need. Everybody's watching. This little guy is a prisoner. He goes into the house. Hey, gosh, you've been so nice to us. By the way, my dad's very sick. Oh, let me take a look at him. Walks in there. I love that. He goes to the need, lays his hands on the guy, prays for him, lays his hands on him. Watch what happens. He's healed. This word in the Greek language for being healed is very exciting. In verse 8, it is this word. It means to cure, to make whole again by divine origin. In other words, Dr. Jesus did his job. Verse 8. But verse 9 says, so when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. Circle the word healed, totally different word. The word healed in verse 9 means to be near someone, to be next to them, to comfort them, to doctor them, to bring about a healing through natural means. Dr. Luke, Dr. Jesus, verse 8, Dr. Luke, verse 9. This is the very first verse of the Bible that leads us to medical missionaries. Luke was used to heal people by natural means. Jesus in verse 8, by the laying on of the hands by Paul, Jesus healed them by divine means. And what's the point? We'll end with this. God has centered you out, focused you out, set you apart from the world. You are precious cargo to God, priceless indeed. Inside you dwelleth the Holy Spirit of God. If you be a believer, a Christian today. And God wants to use you. No storm, no ship breaking up, no decree from centurions can derail what God wants to do in your life. You've got to be willing to go against the grain. And here's what I love. That hand that was accused of murdering and of being dangerous and condemned, that hand goes into the ruler of the island, so to speak, representative, somebody wealthy, somebody powerful, obviously, goes in there and takes that condemned hand, does something that they don't agree with by touching someone sick, prays, and the guy's made whole. But what happened was, verse 9 and 10, everybody brought the sick and the diseased, and they were made whole. And then honor came to them in many ways, Luke tells us, providing things that were necessary for the trip. And I want to end with this. You may be right now going through a time where you're just really having a lot of doubts, fears, and questions. And I don't know how to convince you of this. Maybe you won't be convinced of it. But the detour that's happened in your life is no detour to God at all. Ask Abraham about detours, and Jacob and Elijah, Daniel, Jeremiah, and Peter about detours. Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 8, he says, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, and whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on those things. The things which you learned and received, listen, and heard and saw me do them. And the God of peace will be with you. That's an incredible witness. And may our words match our walk. Lord, we come before you. And Father, I pray, Lord, this morning that there may be somebody here today, they've never personally met you. In fact, they've been hindered by so-called witness. Lord, we pray right now that they would bring their basket of hurts, lay them down at the throne, and Lord, that they would hear right now this word of exhortation. Take your eyes off men and off situations and put them upon the one who is only alone worthy of our praise and worship, Jesus Christ, and focus on him. You can say that you've been wronged or hurt or abused or whatever in many ways, and the bottom line is Jesus has never done a thing to you but reach out in love. And maybe you need to just make that decision for Christ today. We encourage you to do that. But Lord, as this church is blessed of you and growing of you, God, we pray that all of us would be weighing anchor, cutting loose the things that hold us back. Lord, that we would go forward with you no matter what the cost. Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called God's Priceless Cargo, Part 2. Thanks for listening. And when the layover on Malta came to an end, many of the people who lived there were healed. The lives of the sailors with Paul were changed forever, and the gospel came to Crete, and it all started with a storm. God's Priceless Cargo Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit, and will continue on the next edition of Real Radio. As we complete our series on the Book of Acts, we want you to know that what God did in the early church to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, He's doing that today, and he wants to do it through you. That's why Pastor Jack has made available for purchase the Book of Acts series on USB. And for your gift of any amount to Real Radio, you'll get 69 complete audio MP3 messages. It's going to let you revisit the faith, courage, and determination of that first century church and the apostles, including the Apostle Paul. The Book of Acts series on USB is available at our website for your gift of any amount at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.